Welcome to this episode of the Think Wildlife podcast. Today, I speak to Sunny Gurpreet Singh, who is the founder of Round Glass and all its associated philanthropic initiatives. I also speak to Neha Dara, who is the head of the Round Glass Sustain project, which aims on creating a digital encyclopedia of India's wildlife. We talk about various aspects of conservation communication. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Don't forget to share and subscribe.
Welcome, Sunny and Neha, to the podcast. It's a pleasure to have you on to talk about Round Glass Sustain.
It's a pleasure to be on the call, Anish.
Thanks for having us, Anish.
So what is the idea behind Round Glass Sustain and what is the long-term vision with this organization?
Yeah, so Round Glass Sustain's focus is biodiversity in India. And, you know, India is one of the most biodiverse countries in the world. And I want a platform and a forum through which people in India and people in the world can understand and see and appreciate the biodiversity. And for a nation to protect its biodiversity and people to protect biodiversity, they have to understand it. They have to have pride in it. If they have pride and they'll love it, and they love it, they'll protect it. And so that was the underlying theme and the underlying feeling around which, you know, we created Round Glass Sustain over 3 years ago. And, you know, we focus right now on wildlife, habitat, human impact stories, but we have a lot more that we plan to do. And we want to be really good storytellers and tell it in a very entertaining and educative manner and be really true and pure in terms of the storytelling. This is not about, you know, making it sensational and that kind of stuff. This is about being very authentic with our storytelling and with a strong emphasis on science. So we do fact-checking and we ensure we do a good deal of research in anything and everything that we talk about. And we have really good content, award-winning content now. We good films, powerful writing, absolutely stunning photography, travel guides, humor. So it's like an all-encompassing. And I think we are seeing that people have started really appreciating what we are bringing to them, the stories we are bringing to them. And our intent is we want to make 1.4 billion people at a minimum proud of the land they live on and what India has to offer to them and to the rest of the world in terms of what we call biodiversity.
Why is storytelling so important for conservation, and how does Round Glass Sustain contribute to conservation?
You know, in a way, when you look at conservation, you know, one is we can get on the idea of conservation, but my take is, you know, being an entrepreneur, why does an entrepreneur thrive? Because they believe in the problem, they make that problem their own, they live that problem and the solution to the problem, and we can look at a conservation angle, or we can look at, we are such a rich land when it comes to biodiversity, let's figure out a solution to abundance. And it's not about conserving what we have, it's growing what we have. And, you know, of course, our land and our biodiversity is shrinking, and that is an alarming rate, and I think that's pretty bad. But I look at giving people so much joy, making them so proud, making them aware. They're saying, you got a very beautiful thing going for you. And forget about conserving it. I'm saying, grow it to an abundance, right? I want every student to understand our biodiversity and go in our habitats and appreciate what we have on our land. I want adults to do it, young adults to do it. I want tourists from all over the world to do it. You know, I want them to think of India in the same league of, you know, I go to Africa when I want to go on a nature journey or a safari. No, I will come to India because it is equally rich, but even more diverse, right? And so for me, it's more than just conservation. It's about, you know, showcasing the abundance of what we have and then growing that abundance, right? And there's no reason why, for example, why kids in schools are not taught about our biodiversity in a way that really touches their heart. right? And so conservation will become immaterial if we showcase from a young age, as well as people of all ages and genders, to really understand what we have. Forget about what we have to conserve, what we have, and how precious it is, and how fulfilling can it be, and how much joy it can give to us, and of course, how important it is for survival of our just ecosystem, what we call nature, and what we call human and nature interactions. So, and you know, storytelling, helps people realize their connection with the natural world and the urgent need to protect, of course. And we want to make science fun, right? We can be cut and dry with science, and they will excite the academics. But we want to make it fun for all ages. We want to make it exciting, of course, accessible. We want to make it understandable and relatable. And that kind of storytelling doesn't come easy, right? You have to really work on it. And so that's why what I believe what we are doing is highly imperative. And the way I look at it, we're just warming up. And in 3 short years, a little over 3 short years, we have done some remarkable stuff. Even I'm surprised. You know, I'm saying, my God, it's like I knew nothing. And every time I see a film of Rangla Sustain, I see a story, it gives me goosebumps. It says, you know, because you know, I've lived half my life in the US, half in India. So I have two homes, you know, and I'm indebted to both homes. India raised me, and I then came to the US and I thrived. And so when I look at a story coming out of India that is absolutely excellent and it smells of excellence, every story of that gives me goosebumps. Say, wow, this is happening on my land. It's pretty cool. Or when I see a story between human and nature conflict, it kind of makes me sad and saying we can do better. We know better. You know, our culture knows better. Our country knows better. Our civilization knows better. Our traditions know better. And so how can we weave this into the fabric of our day-to-day living, that nature matters, our biodiversity matters, and therefore our land matters, right? And this is something that all of India and all of humanity should enjoy and cherish. And so storytelling around the sustain, whether it covers areas of conservation and others, it matters to us. And but we have taken an approach which we believe in the long run will bring so many people into the fold, not because they have to conserve something, because they want to cherish, enjoy, and protect, as well as have the generations to come saying, you know, we owe it to the next generation, our kids and their kids, that we almost worship this. You know, we should worship the biodiversity that we have, not just appreciate it, not just protect it, we should worship it, because that's how precious it is. And something like this precious cannot be let go that easy, you know. And I believe conservation is a component of the storytelling. It's not the storytelling by itself, it's the component of the storytelling. And where possible, we'll bring in the conservation angle too. But we just want people to fall in love with India's biodiversity, full stop. You know, the rest will take care of itself.
What do you think are factors which make a wildlife story or a conservation campaign successful?
I'll focus on, you know, from my perspective, creating an awareness, since this is our focus in sustain. And first and foremost, you know, one needs to be really compelling. The storytelling has to be, it has to be relatable. So yeah, so the, you know, first and foremost, you know, one needs to be, the storytelling has to be compelling, it has to relate to people, and it has to be, the messaging has to resonate emotionally with people. And we have to have advocates and brand ambassadors. So story must have people who believe in it and want to evangelize and talk about it and shout out loud. The messaging must be inclusive, because we are all in, and we're all in as one India. And also an effective campaign needs to have a multi-channel approach, using both different modes of storytelling and communication. So all of those things come into place, and you know, our team has done a wonderful job of it. our storytelling around the areas we focus on is becoming more and more powerful, more and more relevant, more and more crisp, and more focused.
If I may chime in, Anish, I think that what Sustain is really doing is that we're kind of democratizing storytelling about India's natural world. A lot of the typical blue chip documentaries that exist out there are very like, oh my God, nature is so beautiful, it's amazing. But it always feels a little distant from who we are, where we are, right? And I think that when we started storytelling with Sustain, we wanted to show how nature was a part of people's lives on an everyday basis, that it wasn't just something that existed far away in forests. It's everywhere around us. It's in all sorts of different habitats like grasslands, wetlands, around us in urban areas, in our car park lots, in parks and pavements and walls. And, you know, we wanted to show that. We wanted to make this content really accessible to people. So short format, no gatekeeping behind expensive subscriptions. You can watch it on the move, on your phone, wherever you are. And it's in different languages as well. So that is all part of how we're supporting conservation by making this really democratic and accessible to people. Also the fact that we're not sending in these high-flying crews that helicopter in to tell these stories. We work a lot with the local storytellers to empower them, to enable them to tell their own stories, to upskill them. And so it's for us not just about what we're doing, but how we're doing that's really critical.
Continuing on your point, Neha, what do you think are some common mistakes which wildlife enthusiasts and conservationists make in their campaigns and stories?
So, it's I'll take a more like a positive approach to this versus just mistakes, and focus on how Sustain is and can support and enable conservationists in their work. The way we help out is by showing the really the beauty and the uniqueness and the importance and relevance of the species of habitat being that they are striving to conserve through content in various forms. We're building a community of advocates, for example. Who are very cause-driven and who believe in what we're doing. And we're bridging that gap between people and science because, right now when you look at biodiversity, it is visual, it is stunning, it is, you're doing rich media and pictures and videos. But we wanted to bridge, science and people together, but we have to do it in a fun way, otherwise they won't latch onto it. It becomes more boring and academic, right? Because not everybody likes it. There are people who love academics and a lot more people who don't. And so we're taking our academic findings and showing how they impact people in an easy to understand manner. So bringing all of those things together, I think will really assist. And that's what we are trying to focus on and are focusing on.
Yeah. So, Anish, for example, our stories on the Orans, the sacred groves of Rajasthan, have been used by conservationists on the ground to help restrain the building of power lines. When people are working on the conservation of the Palakkaranai wetlands in Chennai, or whether it is of threatened national parks in Goa, it is content that showcases the beauty of these places that is really able to evoke people's passions and enlist their support in these campaigns. And that's where people like us come in.
How does a wildlife media platform such as Round Class Sustain become financially sustainable?
Yeah, so, of course, every project takes resources, human resources, and other financial resources for other reasons. And so we're committed to it for the long haul. And so we will be putting our own resources into it for the foreseeable future and then some. That being said, we will embark upon generating funds through grants and CSR to augment what we are doing. Of course, we're committed to it. We'll move at a certain pace. We'll do a lot of good things, but to put it on steroids, we will, we will, and we are in the process of creating a fundraising arm that can go and tap into people who really believe in the cause of sustainability and biodiversity and related areas, and augment what we're already doing. So we will go both ways, and we are now working on the second part too.
How can individuals contribute to round glass sustain?
You know, it's the most important thing that sustains kind of storytelling is to give people a new way of seeing the world around them. And this is something everyone can do with whatever materials they have on hand, whatever resources they have access to. Even let's say when, you know, you or somebody photographs a butterfly, post it on Facebook and they contribute to conservation, right? So, you know, our intent is that we will keep, of course, doing what we do, but we'll create brand ambassadors and evangelists, but we'll also get it, you know, we already started some of this, but we're going to get more and more of the community at large getting involved and saying, become part of the storytelling, not just what we are doing and our brand ambassadors and our evangelists and our advocates are doing, but become part of the storytelling, because every one of them, you know, with today's, you know, smartphones and everything, has a way to capture things very quickly. They have the ability to contribute and be creative very easily. And we want this to become a movement or a phenomenon in India. I want Round Glass Sustain to literally be a grassroots campaign where everybody feels, you know, they are part of the storytelling. And that'll take some time for us to do, and we'll get there. But this is an India story. Honestly, this is not a Round Glass Sustain story. Round Glass Sustain is just a platform to enable it. But what we're doing is an India story, and I want everybody in India to be involved in it.
Anish, also to just chime in, we're always looking for people to contribute and volunteer for Sustain. For people who are content creators, whether it is video, text, or photography, there are guidelines on our website that they can look at to pitch their stories. But the fact is that we need volunteers for everything else. Like maybe somebody is like a marketing genius who loves nature. Maybe they can help us reach a lot more people. Maybe there are educators who would like to create screenings or help children build a powerful relationship with the natural world. And they can tap our content and we'd love to work with them. Maybe someone has a talent for translation or voiceovers. We'd love for our content to be in more languages. We're already working on so many. We have very exciting languages like Sikkimese, Khasi, Marathi, Bengali, Kannada. But we'd love to be in so many more languages to reach people on the ground. And if there are volunteers who can help us do that, that is fantastic. We also love to work with intersections with nature. So maybe someone out there is a mathematician who would love to talk about the patterns that exist in nature. You know, the murmurations of birds when they fly. And we'd love to work with them to do that kind of storytelling. So, or maybe there's someone out there who just wants to fund storytelling on their city, on their state, and say that, you know what, I'm from Gujarat and we have such amazing nature and I'd like to fund some storytelling and I'd like to partner with you on to doing that. So the point is, we really have room for all kinds of people to come work with us, contribute in different ways. And we are very, very open to collaboration, to partnerships, and any kind of volunteer work. Because I think that telling stories of India's natural world is a very collaborative process. And all of us have a piece of the story to tell. And we should all do what we can for it. I think that's something Sunny always says, giving that 10% of us to make this happen.
Over the years, what have been some challenges you have faced at Sustain?
You know, it's when we started Sustain, of course, you know, we had a vision of what we wanted to do. But sometimes, you know, you don't look into or you don't see, or sometimes you don't even know, because problems will pop up. And they did, you know, but that's the beauty of any journey, right? It's a bit unknown. Sometimes a lot is unknown. But you know that you're going on a journey and you have some expectations, you have some desires and you have some intent and you have some goals in mind. And Sustain, Round Glass Sustain is no different. You know, first is, you know, change the mindsets of people and making them aware, right? A lot of people, you know, they're so busy with their daily lives. They're saying, hey, you know what, wildlife has nothing to do with our lives, or there's something far away we see on TV, but everything seems fine. What you don't see, you don't realize, right? You don't live it. It doesn't impact you in a way it should. And so just because you see something on TV doesn't mean that you are taken to bed and saying, oh my God, I'm going to be thinking about this problem when I go to bed tonight. Or when I wake up, I'm going to be, you know, thinking about this problem. You just, yeah, it's me. I saw it, but I got a day job and I got my life. And so changing the mindset to make people realize that this matters and this relates to you directly or indirectly and to your next generation, to your own kids. And we made stride over there. Partnering with academia, right? They have the technical knowledge. They have the scientific knowledge. They have the science. And we want to weave that in as we talked about. And so we, you know, we realized that, you know, we have to work more and more with scientists, but then we have to take their research and their facts and their intelligence and combined acumen and translate it and make it relatable to the masses who are of all shapes and sizes, right? Different languages, you know, different level of understanding of things, et cetera, et cetera. We can't, of course, compromise on the factual accuracy of hero storytelling. So for us, it was, okay, my God, now we have to be, yes, we realize we're going to tell the story purely and truly. But when you get into fact checking and making sure our research was properly done, you say, oh my God, we have a lot of work to do. So we calibrated or recalibrated ourselves, so how deep a research and factual accuracy we'll need to do. And therefore, what all goes behind the scenes, the engine of the car, so to speak, before the car is delivered. Ethics, right? It's a day and age of social media where everything flies. And for us, that's not correct. For us, if something is going to come out of Round Glass Sustain, anything in Round Glass, it has to be ethical. It has to be morally correct. It has to be factually accurate. It has to be science-backed. And so ensuring that we never break the line of ethics, we never waver from our North Star, our value system, in this particular case, Round Glass Sustain, is imperative to us. But there's no compromise on it. And if we ever find that we have failed or a crack has shown up, we work double our strength and we double up and saying, oh, how can we miss this? Boom, let's fix it right away. And let's make sure it never happens again. And can mistakes happen in the future? Absolutely, yes. We are humans. At the end of the day, sometimes we don't have complete information. But what we have is in the best faculties and all the things we know best. Partnering with academia, making it science-backed, fact-checking. We do a very strong and thorough job of this, and we are improving our systems and our processes and our research, etc. So we're becoming better and better at it. And it's a matter of evolution, right? Anything you start has to evolve and has to mature, and we are doing the same. And so those are some of the, you know, some of the challenges that we came across, but I have to give credit to the team. It's like not only the team is involved, their friends and parents are involved, their kids are involved. It is like I always chuckled when I was told, saying, Sunny, look, so and so's father is doing this and so and so's mother is doing this in our team. And I said, gosh, it's like they are all in. But this is like, well, I almost fell off my chair. I said, you know, and I said, let me pronounce to the whole company that look, we are not just X number of people, we X times four, X times 10. If that pervades with every individual in our and associate in our company. So, but nonetheless, you know, we have had challenges. We will continue having challenges, but that's a fun part of the journey, right? Otherwise, if everything is so smooth and so clean, I don't think life would be worth living.
So my final question for both of you is, what has been the greatest learnings from your conservation and philanthropic career?
You know, Neha will have a great perspective on this too, but my take is, I tell everybody, you know, give 10% of yourself for other people's happiness, number one, and give a reason for your kids to look into your eyes and say thank you, because today they don't. And so for me, the more I do, the less it is. And therefore, I'll continue doing more till I feel that we have made a dent in our universe for the betterment of humanity as it stands today and for the next generation, for my kids, for our kids. We must give them a reason to say thank you to us. And today, I don't see there too many reasons to say thank you to us.
And what about you, Neha?
Who's made all of this possible? But for me, it's like the little details. Every time I go to a school and I do a screening with 200 kids, if I'm able to just make 10 of them look at the natural world in a different way, I feel like this is it. I have been successful. I mean, even if I look at my own team, right? We built a team who were really good storytellers. not all of them loved the natural world when they started out, but they are now hardcore evangelists. They want to be out on the ground, yelling, screaming, lobbying for petitions, because over time they've just realized, right, that it's not just about the rhino, the tiger, the elephant. They've fallen in love with the fish that can walk on ground, the beetles that can live 1,000 times their weight, the lizards that can fly. I mean, I think that there is something about the natural world of India. If you were just able to discover the sheer awesomeness of it, I think it's inevitable that you would fall in love with it, which is how it kind of ties back to where Sustain started. We just want people to discover that. We want them to know the sheer diversity of what exists, to know the sheer sense of wonder that evokes, so that they can fall in love with it and protect it.
So that is a very positive way to end the podcast. Thank you so much, both of you, for making time for this.
Anish, thank you for giving us an opportunity to talk about Round Glass Sustain and our point of view, and how all of India can get involved in this. Thank you for giving us this opportunity.
Thanks, Anish. And please reach